I've got a lot of written comments below for the grains especially, and also there's another section down farther that shows some global production numbers for both the corn and the beans going all the way back to 1960. I think you really enjoy those charts and also some of the commentary as to President Trump's tariff policies as it pertains specifically to Brazil. So don't forget to look at that. So what I want to look at and talk about here on the audio commentary is mainly just a couple of things to wrap up on the grains and then go through the livestock real briefly. The market in today's price action really helped solve some issues for me because we knew that we have the weather here this week with a drier bias going to likely play a role depending on the USDA report numbers. We knew that we had President Trump kind of goosing the market today with asking China to quadruple their U.S. soybean purchases. And fortunately, before the end of the day, we do have confirmation now that President Trump did sign an executive order going ahead and extending another 90 days the tariff deadline between the U.S. and China, confirming what they'd agreed upon about a week ago in, I think it was Oslo, but he had never signed off on it, and we were coming right up against the tariff pause deadline for tomorrow had he not extended it today. So that takes something off the table, but we still have obviously the crop report and whether China will purchase and USDA, will they come in again and show a bigger biodiesel domestic demand but also lower the Chinese soybean demand. And I think those are the things to be watching for. And when I look at those specifically and all that wrapped up together, I think we want to go into the harvest in soybeans, especially with this rally. Notice we got up to 10.15 in the November beans. And if you look at the November bean chart that I've got below, along with the November beans versus December corn, you see that major resistance of 10.15 was hit today. So this is a great opportunity now to go ahead and say after the report, we're done going down. We've priced in these bigger crops. USDA didn't give us as big a crop as we thought they would. And so let's go ahead and take it higher because we've got weather underneath us and this Trump extension between the U.S. and China and their trade. However, if we don't go above 10.15 on a closing basis tomorrow, we really need to be looking at 100% hedged. And what I would recommend, because of the weather situation, if it's a drought area for you, I just talked to a client in northern Indiana. He's experiencing some pretty tough weather and has been for the last 30 days or so. Also, I've been talking to some more producers in Illinois that are getting nervous about their bean crop and filling out, especially Indiana as well. Even the corn crop is being questioned more in Illinois and Indiana as well from some of the people I've talked to just today. But if we do have a drought in your, like if you have, do have a drought in your area and the beans are rallying, you go into the puts and you let your basis come up because your basis has been a major drag on the average cash price. That's where the soybeans have reflected the world supply demand fundamentals very well through the basis and the cash new crop price. But futures, the funds being not nearly as net short as they are in the corn, they act like the beans are the best thing going out there, and it's probably because of biodiesel and just the way they spread trade. So if you're in a drought, keep your puts and then roll them up every 45 to 60 cents if the market continues to stay dry, and improve your net selling price as you get ready to go into the combine. If you're not in a drought and we go higher, and you think you really do have a strong crop, then go ahead, I think, and we'll want to go do a hedge to arrive. And then maybe by the end of the month, swing back around. Don't give it any more than 3 weeks. That's my rule of thumb with hedge to arrives or basis contracts. I really like to get those locked down within about 30 days of when I do one side or the other. But get a hedge to arrive in place as the market rallies, scale up, sell, and then come back around. Maybe by the end of this month, 1st of September, see what the basis looks like and maybe lock the basis in at that stage of the game. And I think that's the best way to look at these markets, depending on what your weather is, if we do indeed get a futures rally and today was a key change in the market psychology. We don't know that for a fact, obviously, but it's something to think about as we get ready for the numbers tomorrow. Because, we, as I said, we can put away the idea that we're going to have the U.S. and China fight each other by President Trump giving us this extension here today. And we do have the charts working more in our favor, as is the weather. Last thing I'll talk about is the bean-corn ratio. You notice that's back up to 2.48. That's up there towards that record high again for the Nov beans versus the Dease corn of this year. That's something that I'm banking on, or hoping at least, that if the beans continue to go higher, with or without the corn and wheat help, the corn will want to follow the beans, because that spread, that ratio, is so extreme to the beans. It's so premium to the beans. And so here again, we want to really watch these dynamics after the numbers come out. As I said, a lot of written copy below related to the report, related to supply-demand fundamentals. So take a look at that. Last thing I'll talk about in the grains here is, some of you may be wondering about the wheat and wondering about why I care about Russia and the U.S. and their meeting this week. It's not just about oil. It's also about the wheat market. And what I'm talking about specifically is the ruble against the dollar. Notice in that dollar-ruble chart, I have the dollar-ruble, and that's your bar chart. And then I've inverted it to a ruble-dollar, and that's the blue line. And then below that, I've got the stochastics for the dollar-ruble. And I'm a little nervous that the dollar is going to jump against the ruble if we don't get good news out of this meeting between the U.S. and Russia. And if it does that then promote the idea of the ruble going down again and hitting those late 2024 lows? And so seasonally, if you go back to the beginning of the chart, you know, the September of 2021 time period, pretty much a flat line, a little bit of a downward move late 2020. And then as you get into 2021, you saw a big drop after the September time period heading into 2022. Then in 2022, you also had another big drop heading into 2023. And in 2023, you didn't have as big a drop after September. It happened before September. But you can kind of pick up a seasonal here. The ruble tends to drop pretty hard against the dollar in that last part of the year. So we got to be really careful about this. And watch that real closely, because even though I like the wheat fundamentals, if the ruble starts to go against us, then it's going to take us a longer time to get out of this mess, I'm afraid. So keeping an eye on that, just not trying to mix things up or make things muddier, just trying to give you an idea why I think the U.S.-Russia meeting is so important. Turning to livestock, we got what we needed today. I think part of it was because the cash cattle market remains elevated. It slipped some, but it's still... you can get a lot of business done at 237 to 239 plus, it seems like, even late in the week last week. And yet August futures was 231 to 234. And so we were able to get those August futures to go back in favor and to the upside. We also had the help of the hog market. And I think the U.S.-China extension that President Trump put out around 1230 Central and then confirmed closer to the close or a little after the close, was supportive for the beef and the hogs as well, and the export potential there. Notice also on the cattle chart that shows the monthly live cattle versus the beef loin price and the round price. Both those cuts have come up now. They've jumped, and they've been able to find a little bit of a leg up here, and I think that helped as well. So when I look at the livestock in its totality, Monday did help us kind of heal up and give us a chance to say, okay, maybe we don't need to go down anymore. We'll see what the WASDE report numbers say. This is the big thing about the WASDE report number. The USDA July WASDE said that commercial production for beef was going to be down 3%. Our year-to-date production is down 3.6% because slaughter is down 6.6%. And so the question is USDA right? Because they're showing Q3 and Q4 production a lot bigger than what we had in Q1 and Q2. Do they keep with that or not in tomorrow's report? That's going to be the big thing I watch. And if they do keep with it, then we'll still want to stay on the hedging mindset as we get into Q4 because of the stock market and the consumption and the overall economy and whether we have some issues there. So what I would say to you is that livestock report is really important to whether we keep hedging or not. Last thing I'll say is back on the charts, that August feeder cattle chart, last one in this section shows that the trend line that was redrawn after a couple, 3-5 weeks ago, that did hold. We went below it a little bit today, but we were able to close back up above it. And in both the fat cattle and the feeders, we were able to get back above or right at Friday's lows. So we're not out of the woods yet, but I would say we have not spurred any additional selling pressure based upon the sentiment and the technicals. If you have any questions, give me a call. Otherwise, have a great night, and we'll see how USDA treats us tomorrow.